It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. It's the start of an episode and a sound check all in one.
All in one.
William, did I ever tell you 1-2-1-2 testing, testing?
No, you never did tell me that.
Sibilance.
1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Sibilance. I think there's an old Simpsons bit where they're doing the sound check for like a open mic poetry slam, and he's doing things like sibilance, and then he goes like, "February is the cruelest month, cruelest, cruelest month." I have seen the best minds of my generation, brought down, 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 1-2, down. I had a cold open ready, but it was honestly kind of serious and depressing, and I don't think it's fun, so I'm not going to do it. So, you, come up with something wacky. Go! Great work.
Come up with something wacky?
Wacky.
What does that even mean?
Well, I do have some bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
So this is, we're doing a double.
Yes.
It's going to be the last double for a while. Thank goodness. Oh, I can't cope with these things. And so I had to pick what we were going to watch in between.
Okay.
And of course it was going to be the new season of Joe Perry Talks With You.
That's what I expected. I actually expected it.
Yes. But that's not happening. Because Adult Swim, and I don't know if it's true for season one, but season two, you have to prove that you have the channel now. Like it needs a cable agreement or something. So
that's too bad.
Can't see it at all, so I'm pissed about that. Also makes me nervous because I got the app on the TV, so. Addie is singing the song of his people. Not sure why. Probably for attention. Anyway, so I'm just going to make you watch more Bob Mortimer instead.
Okay,
so
that's
that
fine.
Should be, yeah, that should make you happy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that's snapped off a button today.
On your shirt?
Oh. Yes. I caught it on a hook. That was we went to Shakespeare's and they have the little hooks in between the booths. I caught it on it and popped it off. It's in here. We'll fix it. Mm. But it's my most popular shirt. I'm unhappy about this. I don't know what'll happen next Thursday if it's not ready. Not that anybody'll hardly be at work then, but I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 457.
Yes, and then we're gonna record 458 because somebody's gonna go to Star Wars.
That's right. We have tickets already.
So let me get this out of the way because I'm not doing it next episode. Let me explain how this works. We have a hat. It is magical. In that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, not cats, people, humans, opposable thumbs, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. I was going to take a Sudafed. I sound all stuffy. Oops.
Oops.
The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Its specially stuffed up servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. So now you know. Your life is different now.
Your life is different
now. Yeah,
that's
Grace Helbig's thing. Grace Helbig introduces all of her videos by saying, "Hi, my name is Grace Helbig. If you didn't know that now, you know your life is different now." which I thought was adorable the first time. But she does it. She's done it for years, and at this point, she says it very fast, and it just seems goofy to me. It may be because it has been a while since my life was different from having heard that.
Is she still a thing?
Yeah. Huh. She and Mamrie Hart and Hannah Hart do bunches of stuff. Hannah has had a little more success sort of outside of them, but then the two, the Mamrie and Grace, or not, yeah, Grace, have done some of their own things. They have a touring show and stuff like that as well.
They made a feature film.
Yes.
That I saw.
Camp something or other.
Yeah.
Also, I still have it in my queue. I've never watched it. They did a version of Electra Woman and Dyna Girl with Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart playing those roles, respectively.
They did?
Yeah. It's on Amazon.
Hmm.
Speaking of Amazon, but unrelated to Amazon, I've been thinking about it. I think you and your wife would enjoy watching Dimension 20.
Dimension 20.
Yes, this Fantasy High thing I was telling you about, the D&D game.
Okay.
I think you would enjoy watching it, both of you, sort of for different reasons. I mean, it's funny. I think you'd think it was funny, because it is. But it's also an interesting look at gaming and at gamers. Because a lot of the people involved, you can tell, like, they don't have experience from having done this before.
Oh.
And so it's fun, and like, especially in the very early episodes, one of them stopped in the middle of something and was like, this is so awesome. but it's really fun, and like, he's very good at improv, and there are, so there's a lot of very, like, funny bits happening, mm-hmm. and there was literally a combat scene where somebody was, one of the bad guys was this creepy goth vampire lord guy, and he was trying to do something disgusting to gross out the cleric, the straight-laced cleric, and that they were like, it's okay, I understand, and he was like, you know, it's not as good for me when you accept it like this, and she's like, yes, but I have an uncle, and finally he's like, you know what, let's fight, and then they went back to combat. And lots of weird stuff. Recently, they were looking for somebody that had a rat, and so one of them cast a minor illusion of a sexy rat. And the GM's like, I'm going to need you to explain to me exactly what you mean by sexy rat. And that became a whole thing. And some of the characters were completely freaked out by the sexy rat, and some of them were weirdly aroused by it and very uncomfortable by that fact. And it's just, but in the meantime, there's like this elaborate storyline that's going on that all ties together really well, but gives them a lot of freedom, and it's still working, and I'm very impressed. And I know part of it is because of their skill as writers and actors and comedians, and I know a lot of it's also because of editing. But it's still, I think it's very cool to watch, and I think both you and Abby would get a lot out of it.
Hmm.
I think you'd find the characters interesting.
But you're saying it's on Amazon?
No.
It's on YouTube.
Just reminded me of streaming service. I'm watching it on Dropout, but it is on YouTube in its entirety, so you could watch it there.
Well, maybe we'll give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. All right. It has been 1 week
mm-hmm.
since you looked at me, threw your eyes to the side, and said, you're crazy. Hey, oh, man. Remember Bare Naked Ladies? Remember when we were all super into that?
No. I don't remember ever being super into
that. Oh, I was super into Bare Naked Ladies.
You were?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I loved them. I mean, I literally only listened to the three songs they had that were popular, but I really liked them. I thought they were awesome. Which was, yeah, that one week, If I Had $1 Million, and there's a third one in there, I think. I can't remember now.
I mean, I didn't dislike them. I didn't understand most of the lyrics to 1 week.
They were...
because they were so fast.
On the edge.
And I don't...
of, like, music and comedy, like, a lot of...
I don't hear fast.
Things went... and I just got excited because it made references that I didn't think other people knew. Like Sailor Moon and stuff like that. Which, at the time, I was like, oh my god, they know about that. Like, I think that's the trick. It's just so many references, and everybody be like, oh, I know that one.
I just remember, like, Harrison Ford, I'm Frantic. That's
yes, yeah, like Sting, I'm Tantric. Like Snickers, Guaranteed to Satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make Mad Films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Also, $1 million references Kraft Dinner, which is a beautiful thing. All right, so how's your week been?
Do you think anybody even knows that Harrison Ford was in a movie called Frantic?
Well, apparently they do. I think in the 90s we knew that.
Weirdly.
I knew that reference. I don't know anything about the movie, but I did know he was in a movie called Frantic.
You know, my brother Scott is a Harrison Ford fan.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, in his little apartment in West Des Moines, Valley Junction, actually, he had one of those theater cardboard stand-ups for the film with Harrison Ford on it for Frantic. But it was like, I mean, he likes Harrison Ford because of Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and really that's about it. You know, he's not like a fan of Sabrina or Regarding Henry or any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he liked Frantic okay, but I don't, I mean, I think he just had it there because there was the big face of Harrison Ford.
My sister, when I was younger, had a poster on the back of her bedroom door for the Patrick Swayze movie Steel Dawn. I remember this clearly. I brought this up to her years later. Yes, she refused to acknowledge that such a movie existed.
Yeah, I remember.
And then I eventually proved it, and I'm still sitting on the DVD of it that I want to watch before I send it off to her. Yeah, because that poster meant a lot to me.
We've watched a lot of Oak Island this week.
Oh, they find any treasure yet?
They find things.
Yeah, did they find treasure. What they're actually looking for?
So when we talked about this last time, you expressed doubt about even about these guys digging a hole or a deep hole.
I expressed doubt about, what was it, 16th century teenagers digging a 90-foot deep hole because of some rumor or thing they saw.
18th century. And
oh, in that case.
It wasn't, I mean, people have been able to dig holes for a long
time. Yes, three teenagers on a whiff of treasure and also the sign of buried logs. Well, not so much, I'm buying.
Here's the thing, though. Some of their descendants have come on the show and claimed that they did find something that very first time they did.
Shocking.
And they showed a little gold cross that they claimed to have found.
Shocking.
But
are you convinced now?
No, here's the thing.
You totally believing it
now? That's never been the thing about Oak Island that I was most skeptical.
Yes, I know. We discussed this at great length last time.
So
you don't believe it either, but you constantly defend it.
Well, I'm not defending it. The thing that always bothered me was there was never an explanation about why anybody would bury anything there, which people don't just bury things. There's always a reason, right?
People very seldom bury things, and there's just a lot of stories about people burying shit.
Well, you know,
buried treasure, by and large, doesn't happen.
But, well, it does, but in very specific circumstances. For example, let's say there's an invading army, and someone can't take all their goods with them, so they bury them. Or
they found good Roman caches of silver and stuff like that.
And they came up with some reasons why people back in the day buried treasure. For example, some of the Spanish ships that were looting South America and Central America, well, the where they were going in Spain, they didn't really know how much they should have. So they could skim some, and they would have to put it somewhere.
I see.
So you had stuff
and
like
also
that.
The really dumb explorers who were trying to grow a gold coin tree.
But you are correct in saying that that's a pretty rare thing to do.
Yeah, it's not nearly as common as there are legends about buried treasure.
That's exactly right. Plus, and this is important, you have to think of a reason why they didn't come back and get it.
Also true.
And that can get really complicated because, unless it was a whole ship that buried it and the whole ship went down and they were the only people that even knew about it, in which case, how do you know about it? Someone's going to come back and get it.
I will admit, in the specific case of Oak Island, I do have a theory as to why you've never heard an explanation for why they buried it there.
Nothing's there.
Egg fucking exactly.
And that's always been my... And on top of that, back in the 60s, some guy did tear the whole place up. I mean, he dug pretty deep too, found nothing. And I'm like, why do you think... Nobody's surprised that guy found nothing, and now you're going back. Okay. But what's
the same reason people buy lottery tickets.
But what's interesting is, you know, they're excavating places, and they're finding things that the history of the area did not tell anybody about. So there are some interesting archaeological mysteries, and I'm interested in that. I don't think they're going to find anything. I think that's absurd for them to think they will.
Maybe they'll find ancient aliens. Maybe it's a cross. They'll have a crossover episode. But, History Channel needs more crossover episodes.
But I also like the people in it.
Uh huh.
Like, they're fun. They're fun people and they're cool people.
You are clearly very, very into this show.
Well, it's kind of like the baking show, the British baking
show.
Yeah. I couldn't care less about the stupid cakes or whatever they're baking, but the people are so nice and interesting. And that's part of it. I like.
This may just be that you need to get out more and meet people.
Well, another thing is, though, that the two main guys are brothers.
Yes.
And I could totally see me and my older brother being them. Because what this is about is it's about a younger brother who's, like, rich and his older brother who's just a retired postal employee. He can basically make all his dreams come true with all this money. I would totally do that. If I was rich and I had a chance to give my older brother anything he wanted, I would totally do that. I wouldn't care what it was.
And you would give John Tuttle and I a radio show. And there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So I can totally relate to that aspect of it, too. It seems like you would like it. Like you would,
I'm never watching
like
this show.
Like, you would be totally entertained by it.
I am 1,000% never watching this show.
You don't have to believe in what they believe in to think it's fun.
Not. I don't want... I don't want the History Channel to feel like this is an okay thing to do.
You know what about the History Channel, though, which they just call themselves History now? They have hardly any history, for one.
Well, yeah.
And also...
And most of it's about Nazis.
But
the
also,
history that is
Also,
there.
When you're watching promos for the shows they have, it seems like shows that pretty much only appeal to and feature white people.
Yeah. It's called History. It's not called Black History. You have to specify when it's not white people.
And it's really rare, even on this.
Also, probably I'm gonna guess mostly involving men.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Dude,
mostly involving men.
This is the thing. I think you need to go home tonight and you need to have serious think about what demographic you're in.
Now, look,
as somebody who watches the History Channel.
My wife likes this show more than I do. I mean, if she decided we're not watching this, we would not watch it.
This sounds like the equivalent of I've got a black friend. Like,
no,
it can't be that bad. My wife's a woman and she watches it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're not really watching it because of me, honestly. I do like it.
I do like it a fucking lot.
I do.
You're getting really close to have dedicated an entire episode of this podcast to it.
It's because it's really the only thing I did this week was watch that and read some Hawthorne, which you surely don't want to hear anything about that.
Hawthorne.
And Dante, and you surely don't want to hear anything about that. So, yeah.
What's your wife playing right now?
Nothing.
What?
She's not really playing anything.
How's that happen?
Because she's watching. I'm telling you, she likes this show. It's not just me. But,
I have trouble with this shit because I can't binge things anyway.
But I tell her. I'm
at the point now where I very seldom will watch two episodes of a show back to back. I don't like it. I don't do it with books either. I'm like, I want to mix it up and I want my brain time to process.
Well, weird. It's kind of weird. I'm doing the same thing with, I was just reading Dante like at night to you know, help me get to sleep or whatever.
Yeah.
But now I've got both books next to me and I'll read one of Hawthorne's short stories and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, read Inferno now or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what that's about, but it works. I mean, I don't know if my brain just needs the break or what.
Well, I finished Ancillary Justice, and instead of going to the next one, I bought the next one, but I'm not reading it next. I'm going to read one of the Discworld ones in between just for a change of pace.
Yeah, maybe there's something good about that.
The next time you steal HBO for a month or whatever, watch Watchmen.
Actually, I think what we're going to do is we are going to sign up for HBO again with the idea that when it's HBO Max.
HBO Max is different and I don't believe involves HBO.
Well, what I read was that if you've got HBO Now or whatever it is.
It's Go or Now, depending on whether or not you have cable.
And when HBO Max comes, there's some special way you can get that instead or upgrade to it or something. Because I think we are going to get HBO Max and keep it. Like, not for just a while, but like have it, because there's going to be so much Warner Brothers stuff on
it. Did you get Disney Plus?
No, we're not going to get Disney Plus.
Really? But you're getting HBO Max. Interesting.
Because of the Warner Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I really want from when I look at Disney Plus and I kind of kick myself because we're not going to get it, but the only thing I would want
all
from
the Star Wars cartoons.
No.
All the you don't want those? They got all of them.
I know, but
Rebels, Resistance, Clone Wars, all of that jazz.
I mean, we might watch Clone Wars, but the thing that I'm really interested in with Disney Plus is the National Geographic stuff.
Oh yeah, Dr. Pohl. Man, desperately want to watch Dr. Pohl.
I could just watch that hour after hour.
My in-laws and my wife are obsessed with Dr. Pohl.
Well,
when we're at his house, when we're at their house, we watch a lot of that. And they've got so many flavors of Dr. Pohl now. There's like 20 different shows on Nat Geo and Nat Geo Wild that are, here's a vet who works in a strange situation. It's a TV show.
I mean, there's a lot of great national.
There is. I was excited when I found out that was part of it.
That's about the only. I mean, if I had it, I wouldn't just watch National Geographic. Obviously, I would watch some Star Wars stuff.
And there's a lot of old stuff that I'm really curious to watch. So, like, all of Gargoyles is on there, and that show is amazing.
That's kind of interesting because you've talked about that.
I love that show, but I never watched the final season of it, which was a tonal shift, but I might still be curious to check
Disney,
out.
I guess.
Yeah. I didn't at the time. They may have bought it since then. I don't know.
Was it ABC?
I don't know. I watched it on a local, like, Fox affiliate or something. I watched it on a channel that originally had been its own channel, and then it was a Fox affiliate, and then it was UPN for as long as that lived.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it was buying it from somewhere, but.
Yeah, I mean, if we had it, we would watch other things, but the biggest draw is National Geographic, but we won't.
About The Mandalorian? Have you not seen Baby Yoda?
Well,
holy crap, so adorbs.
The Mandalorian was something I was interested in for a couple reasons. One, because actually I am interested in Mandalorians in general. Not Boba Fett in particular.
Yeah.
But in Clone Wars, they actually have a lot about Mandalorians in it, and it's so interesting. So when the show was going to come out, I was already interested in it just for that. But then it looked so, you know, good in space western, which I love.
Yeah.
I really did kick myself for not being able to see that. But, you know, hopefully it's on DVD or something and I'll see it that way.
It's just cheap. It's way cheaper than HBO Max is going to be. I think HBO Max is going to be like 15 or something.
I know, but it's going to have other things we want to see, like, you know, Barry and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, HBO is good. We pay for HBO right now. We pay like $15 a month for HBO. So if we can get HBO Max and it has the HBO stuff on it, then we're there.
You're watching The Mandalorian then?
Not yet. I'm waiting for the season to be done.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like this waiting around. And we got plenty other stuff we're dealing with at the moment. We're finishing up Watchmen. We just finished up first season Shrill. I do recommend it. It is a weird show, but I do recommend it. And
like
we finished
Watchmen,
up Disenchant. Watchmen is really impressive. We haven't finished it yet. I mean, we're like an episode behind. It might be the last episode. I don't know. But
I guess you did talk about it before.
It's pretty good work. It's pretty impressive. I think you got a while to wait before HBO Max.
Yeah,
it's like next fall or something.
I thought they said late spring, maybe.
Maybe. All right. I had a November date in my
head. Oh, well, could be.
I very intentionally have stopped paying attention to it because I don't think I'm going to deal with it because too many streaming services.
Well, we just have Netflix and we have Amazon now, but I don't know how long we will. So
we got Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, and then I've got Shudder and Dropout and BritBox.
That is a lot.
And actually, Dropout and BritBox are the ones I probably watch the most. But then we watch a lot of the other ones more. But I've been watching this weird one just recently. I've had it in my queue forever. So I had this in my queue forever, but I didn't watch it. Then one day I'm looking for new movies that I'm going to watch, and there's this horror movie. I forget what the name is, but the description of it says it, like, it's getting good ratings as a movie. It's like a vampire movie. And the description says it's set in the same universe as 21st Century Demon Hunter. And I'm like, I know that name. And sure enough, it's a TV series that was on there that is in my queue that I've never watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I should check it out. And I open up and I find out the episodes are like between 10 and 20 minutes long. So I'm like, why the hell have I not watched it? So I'm watching it. It is incredibly low budget. It has this very, like, punk aesthetic. And it, I mean, it's incredibly vulgar, and it's sort of the point. It's meant to be incredibly unglamorous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this woman who works as a bike messenger in New York City who also fights vampires and things like that. And in fact, like the entire first episode is her going out partying and getting texts from her roommate that she has to clean something up that she left in the apartment, and then it's just a montage of her like getting drunk and having sex with people in the bathroom and having that person's significant other show up angrily, and then them all getting involved and just a bunch of silly stuff, and then they go back to her place and they're doing drugs and all, and then it turns out that the thing she was supposed to clean up was her bedroom, because the guy she's with goes into the bedroom and it's this giant vortex. And the other person's like, is he in hell now? She's like, no. Well, okay, one of the hells. I'm not sure which. I'll figure it out later. We'll worry about it tomorrow. And, like, that's the whole episode. So it's very in that sort of vein. And, I mean, it's very lucrative, but I'm kind of into it. And, like I said, I'm watching it because then supposedly this movie's pretty interesting, too. So I found that fun. Work has been surprisingly busy. Getting into my new role doing stuff. I think that's working.
Oh, yeah, new role.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
But, yeah, I think that's
good. Is it
okay.
A lot different than what you were doing before?
No, there's a lot of new people, and I'm still doing a lot of the stuff I was doing before, but I'm doing new stuff.
Hmm.
And it's just different. And there's a new group of people that don't know me very well yet, and I want them to like me and think that I'm valuable. And
sure.
New personalities to deal with and stuff like that. But I think it's going well. I had a sort of baptism by fire because Tuesday, this group and a bunch of people had this workshop all day that, because of space reasons, we couldn't have it at our campus. So we had it in a university building.
Mm.
And I was the person in terms of like staff to be there to make sure that like all the tech worked and to get lunch organized and all that.
Wow.
And it went good. It went good. It did not go perfectly in that, like, I was expecting seriously that I might get really bored. I brought my Kindle just in case. Never touched it. There were enough things happening with scheduling and tech problems and getting the food, and like, I signed the thing for the food and they left before I checked, and they hadn't put in any of the some of the drinks that had been ordered.
Oh.
So while they're doing part of the workshop, I'm like, I'll be back. And I run out to the come and go and buy the drinks and come back. But I think I did well, and I think I made a good impression. So
that was
good. But yeah, exhausted me. I am still playing Conan Exiles. And I'm still kind of mad about it.
Well, it's that kind of game, really.
I'm at the point, as I suspected, I've been researching a little more, and I should be further along for what level I am, but that, I always play conservatively, so I'm fine. Which makes me nervous, because there's a level cap, and I hate that.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where I'm playing at the level I should be playing at, and that's no good.
Yeah.
I always like to be a little bit higher, but if there's a cap, like, eventually I'm just there. But I am in the process of moving my base.
Oh, you're not just going to build a new one?
Well, a little of both, but I'm moving, because I had a lot of stuff now. I had a lot of workbenches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm moving them, and encumbrance is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually looked up online good places to put your base in, and I picked one of those locations.
Mm.
And it's still sort of in the starting area, but, and actually too late, I've learned some tricks of how you do it, where you respec your skills all into encumbrance, and then you can carry a ton of stuff and all this. So what I've been doing, because I now have medium level armor or whatever, which is heavy as hell,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have been putting everything I was carrying at the new place, stripping down naked, running back to my place, which is quite a ways away. It's like half the length of the river. And then picking up as much as I can hold, still naked, and running back.
Mm.
And it's weirdly a soothing process. The graphics are pretty good. And I will admit, because my character has weirdly monstrous breasts, but I'm looking at her from the back.
Yeah.
So I'm generally not seeing it except for the stupid physics, so occasionally they swing out from each. I'm just running along the beach because I keep the shallows there so I can swim in the water if I need to. And I'm pretty good at it. I can run away from most everything. Like, I haven't died once doing this, and I've gone back and forth several times now.
Mm.
And I don't know. There's something just very cool about just running barefoot along the beach.
On the beach.
And then occasionally jump over rocks and stuff. I don't know. I find it very cathartic for some reason. And all these things. I did find out hyenas will chase you to the motherfucking ends of the earth. Everything gives up really early, but this hyena chased me like the whole way.
Mm.
Also, the spot they recommended is right near a cave that is good for stuff, but it's full of imps. And imps are easy, but it means that I'm setting up my base and occasionally just imps walk into it.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know how that's going to... I'm genuinely considering walling up the cave and putting like a door there. Because I'm like, I don't want imps just wandering into my camp.
I guess you can do that. Imps are annoying.
And they're easy to kill.
Yeah, but you just don't want them around.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that was part of the appeal of this place is most of the animals and things don't go here for some reason.
Mm.
And it's a pretty large space and... Yeah, I've solved my iron problem. I've recently learned how to, I've been getting potions and stuff like that, so I'm getting better. But, and then the whole thing is setting all this up so I can start enslaving people.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
You kind of have to not think about it like that.
No, I'm getting into it. I'm getting into this character. Like, she is dominating the exiled
lands.
All right,
lands. But it's not like you're going to actually see a person you capture on the wheel. It's always the same person.
No, but it's a very Conan deal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to dominate the exiled. I'm going to become a warlord. I'm a warlord. That's what it is.
That is what
you are. And that's what I'm getting into. Very weird. Very weird game. And there's just so much shit. And I'm like, what is it? I know it does something. I got to hold on to it because it's going to do something. And it does. I love the inventory. Like, that's where the ludonarrative dissonance really clicks in. I've got a box that among all the things I have in it are like 5 queen bees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go bad or die or anything. They're just there.
No, you put them in a hive. And then they
I haven't built a beehive yet. But once I do is that something like that. Apparently, once you get slaves, you can totally put them into your inventory and just carry them around.
Kind of, yeah.
That's weird. So yeah, that's always funny, the stuff that you can put. And that was, I told you, all the stuff we were talking about, you have to break everything. You can't move it or whatever. No, most of the workbenches you can put in your inventory. Which is crazy, because they're enormous.
Yeah, my wife just made new bases. She's got like 7 bases or something.
And I think that's what in the long run will happen. But at this point, I had too much shit there that I liked. Because at that point, I had already made... armor's bench and a blacksmith's bench and a thing for making potions.
You don't have any thralls on them.
And I don't have any thralls. I straight up have no thralls. I've never built...
You can only put...
I've never built the Wheel of Pain.
You can only dress your thrall guards. You know that, right?
Oh, really? All the others are just naked or do they just wear what they came
They're
with?
Wearing like these rags or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, even if they had something else on before you put them on their assignment... Suddenly they have these rags on, and whatever they had, that's gone.
That's weird.
So, and I don't know if you can get them off of them before or something, because sometimes they have some pretty nice stuff.
But I wonder if
remember.
You could loot them after you knocked them unconscious. Man, this conversation is fucked up. Weird.
Seems like...
Weird shit.
Seems like she's picked stuff off of unconscious people or somehow, but if you assign them... to a bench or something, while they still have all their stuff, I'm pretty sure it just disappears.
Weird.
And then they're just wearing these rags. Now, if they're a guard, though, then you can
put an armor on them and stuff.
Yeah, and if they have...
And presumably if they're a companion.
Yeah.
Because you can bring people around with
them. That's right, that's right. And then, of course, you can put animal guards and things up, too.
Yeah, pets all over the place.
Yeah.
I think I've got some things I can maybe... I don't know. I've got some animals that I just keep in a box.
Oh.
So that might be a thing.
There's a special building you have to build.
Yeah.
And incubate them kind of in there, kind of a deal.
It's a weird game. It's very compelling. Very compelling.
It was fun to watch.
I didn't like it.
and she seemed to like to play it.
Getting better at the hotkeys and stuff like that.
But eventually she just went into the cheat menu and cheated everything. She flew everywhere.
Oh, I see.
But she didn't do that until much later when it's like, you know what, I'm bored of being of playing the survival game, so now I just want to build a big palace. And so she cheated and spawned all this material so she could build stuff.
I see.
But she didn't do that until after she maxed out. She played a little while longer and said, yeah, I'm bored, so now she cheats all the time.
We'll see what happens there. I have seen some of the buildings I can make. It's kind of elaborate.
Yeah.
I thought it was impressive when I unlocked something. It's like, now I can build elevators. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yep, elevators.
Say, who? Is spaceships next? What is happening?
Not just vertical, but horizontal.
Well, and I considered for a minute staying on my little island and just building bridges across. But I'm like, I think I would have to put pillars down in the, like that. No. Weird-ass game. Weird-ass game. I don't. But yeah, it's... Pretty well, and it, the thing is, it's this right now. There's very little doubt that I'm going to play this game at least until spring. Because this is the year where it gets dark, and I can't go outside very much, and I get depressed and shit, and this game is an absolute accomplishment simulator.
One of the things...
So, like, this is how I'm going to survive the winter, is pretending that I'm doing something important.
Yeah, we love playing games in the fall and winter, and I'm kind of surprised. If it weren't for the Oak Island thing, she probably would be playing this game. Well, and of course, there's a new Star Wars game out, but I don't think she's that interested in it.
Oh, Fallen...
Yeah, Jedi Fallen Order? Yeah. I don't think she's that interested in it.
She can do first person, right?
Yeah.
She might want to check out Outer Worlds. Apparently that game's awesome.
Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Apparently it's very cool. I might have mentioned this last time. I'm going to run a one-shot game New Year's Eve day for some friends before we have our New Year's Eve party with a new idea I've come up with. That, first of all, if it's good, I think I'm going to take it to Gamacon.
Oh.
And try and run it there. But also, it's a multiplicative idea. It's a premise that I can then switch genres with and run different versions of it a whole bunch.
Oh.
This first version is going to involve space pirates.
Okay.
But it's something that I could put in sort of any genre I wanted to. I recently got my hands on the Fudge system.
I've heard of that.
Yes. I had played it a long time ago before, but like they had a book of like all the stuff you could do. And it was a very light system, and I loved that about it. I'm now realizing what it is. It's an incredibly flexible system, so you can make it really crunchy if you want to.
Mm.
But like Fudge. I don't. Exactly.
You can make crunchy.
Well, no, that's the whole thing. Is the most important rule of Fudge is when in doubt, just fudge it. That's their whole deal. And Fate really came out of Fudge.
I heard, yes. I think that's why I've heard of Fudge.
And this is the thing, because I'd like to try different games and everything, but I always have, like, what's going to be my game that I build stuff in?
Sure, sure.
And I thought it was going to be Fate. Fate is not working out perfect for me.
Mm.
And Fudge is kind of Fate without the aspects. And the aspects are one of the things that is not working very well for me.
Oh, I see.
So I'm like, this could help a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to see, but I'm going to run it in Fudge, and we'll see how that goes. And yeah, so I'm excited for that. I still have to put my shit together for that, but well, see, we got a busy weekend. We're gonna go play board games with some friends tomorrow night, including a game called Dinosaur Island that apparently is just every player is running their own Jurassic Park.
Mm.
And like things can get loose and kill people and stuff, and I'm super excited to have my dinosaurs eat people on accident.
On accident.
And then Sunday, we're going back to the Riverside Theater to see a play called Straight White Men. Very curious.
Mm.
I think it was written by a woman, written and directed by a woman. So it's like a, might be a one act. I don't know. It's going to tie up in, oh my God, I forgot to tell you about something. We saw a movie last night.
Okay.
Stuber. We finally watched Stuber.
I don't even know.
You don't know about? No, we've talked about Stuber.
I don't know.
All right. It's from last year, or maybe earlier this year. Maybe earlier this year. Dave Bautista. You know who Dave Bautista is?
I mean, I think.
He's a wrestler turned actor who plays Drax in the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yep, yep.
And Kumail Nanjiani.
Your
you
buddy.
Know who that is.
Your buddy.
Your who wouldn't know buddy. Me if he saw me on the street. in essentially a buddy cop movie. It's Dave Bautista is a cop trying to track down the guy who killed his partner.
Wasn't he driving a Lyft or an Uber?
Uber, yeah. That's why it's called Stuber, because Kumail's name is Stu, and he's an Uber driver.
Oh.
And so somebody calls him Stuber.
I do know about
it. And he
this.
Gets sucked up into it, yes. And I was so excited for this movie, and it came out, and it did not do well, and it got very mediocre reviews. And I was like, So we haven't exactly been in a hurry, but I'm like, we're going to watch it sometime. And that time was last night.
Go ahead.
Come on.
No, go ahead.
Ask. You gotta.
Okay.
I need
what
to feel
you
like
think?
You know. Thank you. it's. I feel like the easiest sum up is what my wife said. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
It's, and we're not entirely sure why. Like, to me, it's not a very. It wasn't mediocre. It was a bunch of parts of pretty good and then really not in weird amalgamations. It's, I mean, I think a lot of it is you can't do a 80s action buddy cop movie now.
Oh, you don't think you can? Why can't you?
Because it's a very different sociopolitical landscape. There was a lot of, there's a lot of stupid tropes in those 80s movies that look really bad now. And unless you're going to just be tone deaf about it, but this movie was not. To a large degree, this movie is comparing and contrasting two masculine archetypes. Batista's character, who is straight out of like an old Steven Seagal movie.
Okay.
And Kumail's character, who works at a sporting goods store and then also drives Uber in the spare time and has a best friend that he's been in love with forever but never had the guts to tell her, and is very mild and meek and demure and doesn't stand up to bullies and things like that, and is borders on the sort of metrosexual vibe about him. Mm-hmm. And the problem is it does a really shitty job of compare and contrast. They both don't come out looking great. And also, Batista's character, like, I don't know what the upside of that character is. He's just terrible. Like, he's just shitty. And he's very big on being manly and all. He tells him a story about how his dad tricked him and left him in the desert overnight to man him up. And Stu's trying to explain, like, that's abusive. Like, you don't have to stay in the desert overnight to be a man. And eventually they learn they're not so different after that, like, all that bullshit, you know? And it hits all the old tropes, but it's just, the writing's not that funny.
I guess I don't.
But
really,
it has moments when it is.
I guess I didn't really watch those movies back
in
the
80s. Oh, I watched the shit out of those movies. Beverly Hills Cop movies.
And there are a lot of tropes that are outdated, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, not the least of which is all the casual violence.
Oh, sure.
And this idea that, like, anybody at the end of that movie actually went to jail. Like, so much gets fucked up in those movies. And I don't know, the writing wasn't great, is I think what a lot of it was. A lot of the jokes did not land. Some of them did, and Kumail, bless his heart, was absolutely funny when the material would let him be funny. But sometimes it was not so much. So, I mean, if you're not paying for it, it's worth seeing sometime. We got a chuckle out of it. I'm not sorry I saw it, but it was not great. It also had, what's her name? Michelle. Oh, crap. She's the one who just had the failed sitcom called Abby's. And she was the female lead in the show Middlemen. And she guest starred as a superhero on Powerless for a couple episodes. I want to say Michelle Morales, but I don't think that's the right name. But she's in this and does a good job. She has a pretty small part, though. Yeah. All right, anyway. We should hat.
Let's hat. Do you know a song I have not heard yet this Christmas?
Me neither. That's why I'm not clicking on your link.
No, I have heard that song.
Oh, you have heard that one.
I haven't heard Baby It's Cold Outside not once.
Not even the new version?
Well, today I was wondering, have radio stations decided not to play it? And so I thought, was looking for news. And then they showed all the news I could find was about this new, what's his name, made a new
John
version.
Legend, yeah. And he and Kelly
Clarkson.
Yes, I was going to say Ripa, but it's Clarkson, sang it.
Yeah.
It's not good either. Like, I haven't even heard it. I've just seen the lyrics.
I think it was terrible.
No, it's just dumb. It's in their attempts to, for some reason, fix this song, it makes not a good song.
That's
like,
true.
Like, the lyrics are just dumb.
That's
in a
true.
Lot of ways. Some of it's fine. Some of it's a little weird. Some of it is like, no, that's stupid. They put "It's Your Body, Your Choice" in the middle of the song. Like, this is supposed to be two people, like, you know, flirting and will they, won't they. Nobody says that in that moment. Like, that's weird. Like, yeah.
Know. I thought it was, I didn't think it was great.
I appreciate the effort. It didn't need to happen, and it did not happen well.
Well, what I liked about it, or appreciated about it, was it seemed like it was updating a lot of things, like asking her why she's still living with her folks, and,
yeah,
you know, calling for a car or whatever. And there was some outrage about it, like,
oh yeah, I know.
But
SJWs are going over,
which was seemed dumb to me. It's like, this song isn't really about being woke. It's about updating this song and not even doing that great a job. So why make a big deal out of it?
The song was totally about being woke, which is the problem.
Do you think so?
The lyrics were incredibly like that to me. But to me, it's just another, I'm like, I mean, even if there was a song in the past that I liked, I'm like, you don't need to remake shit. You don't need to remake movies either. Like, if there's a good movie, you don't need to remake it because we can watch that.
Yeah.
If it was a shitty movie, you don't need to remake it because it was a shitty movie. And so, if you Baby It's Cold Outside, it doesn't need to be remade because you can listen to that. We have the technology. And if you don't like Baby It's Cold Outside, why would I want it remade?
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Make me a different song, John Legend. You're good at making songs. Make it not this one.
Maybe you want to make a point about it? I don't
feel,
know.
No, absolutely wanted to make a point
See,
about
I,
it.
See, I guess I didn't sense any of that, but
absolutely.
Maybe I just don't know.
I mean, what's the other? Nobody else does this. What else would be the point?
Well, like I said, it seemed
the
like
only other time songs get remade is when somebody just wants to sample a catchy bit from it.
It seemed to me, I saw more of the updating, you know, like, because there were some old-fashioned ideas, like I said, asking her why she still lived with her folks, and, you know,
yes,
getting her a
and you
Uber.
Don't think it's a weird coincidence that the song, the old Christmas song he chose to update, was the arguably date-rapey one?
No, I figured that had something to do with it, but I just thought, I didn't think it was hit you over the head woke, but I don't know. You're right, they did have the line about your body, your choice.
What will my friends think? And
well, that kind of stuff.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if that's the rhyme for it, is you say, I'd say they should rejoice.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
No. It felt like it was written on the back of a napkin after a strong political debate.
Yeah, it did kind of sound like that.
After a weak but strongly voiced political debate.
I thought the one that I wrote was not bad, but it was like, you know. Do you remember the one I wrote?
I don't, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I liked it better.
Well, it basically, in mine, the guy keeps pressuring her and she gets mad and she does something about it. So
I did once see Lady Gaga and Joseph Gordon-Levitt sing that song with the roles reversed. It was interesting to see that, but it didn't really help.
Craig wants to know.
Craig.
How is Brexit being reported in the U.S.?
God damn it,
Have we
Craig.
Left yet?
God
You haven't
damn it,
left yet.
Craig.
I don't get any news from U.S. News sources because they're terrible, so I couldn't answer this question.
This was what almost spurred my depressing start to the evening.
U.S. News is terrible.
No, not U.S. News. Brexit news.
Oh.
The election, rather.
Oh, okay. I guess I hadn't heard anything about it. It was today, right?
Exit polls are already back, and based on that, Tories have a 70-seat majority.
Wow.
I don't even understand how that's possible. Like, my bafflement at this is very similar to my bafflement at the 2016 election.
Okay.
I don't. Like, I was willing to accept the possibility that the Tories might come out ahead somewhat, but a 70-seat majority.
I mean, is that a lot? I guess I don't.
That is a lot.
Okay.
That is a very large majority. Previous to this, with the help of a coalition, they managed less, much less. And then they lost all of that, and yeah, they haven't had a majority like this in quite a while.
So this should allow them to do basically whatever they want?
Pretty much.
Okay. So that means Johnson can come up with a Brexit strategy and just push it through, and now some things are going to happen?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, they enacted the law that said he can't do no deal, theoretically. But, and I don't know what kind of leverage you need to repeal that. I don't think it's enough for that.
Why would he want to do a no deal when he can push through any deal he wants?
Well, Europe has to agree.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Would they have any leverage at all to get Europe to agree to, you know, something rather than nothing?
I mean, they've already had... Europe's agreed to several deals.
Oh, yeah, right.
The parliament didn't go for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll come around or not. The Tory party is not 100% united with Brexit.
Oh.
But Johnson... is sure into it.
Well, what if he went and picked up one of the deals that Europe has already approved? Because, I mean, weren't some of those deals like May's deals and stuff?
Yeah, he's not touching May's deal. He quit the government because of May's deal.
Oh, I guess I forgot.
He resigned as foreign secretary because of May's
deal.
May's deal was essentially staying in the EU.
As far as he was concerned.
And then the other deals, yeah, Northern Ireland is the main bone of contention.
Yeah, that's a tough... not to crack. Sure.
Yeah, it could start war again. That would be fun.
Yeah, we don't.
And he was unwilling to go. Yeah, no. It's just and just in general, the Tory party is much like the Republican Party currently. The Tory party is all about privatizing functions, and consequently, decreasing support to citizens in the process. Now, don't get me wrong. Jeremy Corbyn is a fucked up individual. But, I mean, it's Boris Johnson. It's Boris Johnson, people. It's Boris Johnson.
I mean, the hair.
I mean...
the hair alone.
I genuinely... oh, the hair is the least... I mean, the hair is... there's a lot... it's like Trump. The hair is an oddity and freaky... but it is really the least of the things we should be concerned about. He's an absolute mess of a human being and an idiot.
Well, what do you think is going to happen then?
I don't know. It's the same as asking me what's going to happen here. I don't know.
Mm.
I mean, I think Brexit's going to happen. I don't think it's going to go well. I think all the national services in the UK are going to continue to be slowly stripped away. The rail service is a disaster because it was privatized. NHS is slowly losing more and more funding and cutting more and more benefits. I do think racism plays a major part in this, the same as in this country. I don't know that it's always conscious racism, but I think it's involved. I don't know. It's just... I mean, I don't... there's different issues. Having a Tory majority scares me. Boris Johnson being Prime Minister baffles me.
But he has been. I mean...
it baffled me then, too. But at that point, all that had to baffle me was that he managed to rise to the top of the Tory party.
Oh, I see.
This time, the people were voting, and they knew that's what would happen. and they did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, what do you
think? What
do you think the mood over there is? I mean, what's going on?
I mean, racist. A lot of it is racist. The immigration is a huge motivator in this. But there's just so much other stuff, and I don't understand it. There's so much. I mean, it's very similar to Donald Trump in that I cannot come up with an argument. Like, I can't envision what an argument for wanting him to be in charge looks like. In this country, I've heard it a little bit that, like, he tells it like it is or whatever. I still kind of don't get that as an argument exactly. But Johnson doesn't even have that. Johnson is one of the most upper crust, snobby. He's literally an Eton graduate. I mean, he's his own caricature of an upper class, toffee nosed prick.
Well, I mean,
he looks like a Benny Hill character, and he acts like a Benny Hill character. It's insane.
I think, one of the things that seems to bother people here and there in lots of places are, you know, perceived, this perception that the country you're living in, whether it's the United States or Britain, or there are a lot of other countries where people are thinking this too, that the country you're living in is being pushed around by the rest of the world. And this is happening to countries that are, like United States and Britain, have mixed economies. This is happening in places that have more socialistic economies. There's a whole variety of countries where people are protesting or angry or whatever. And a big part of what they're complaining about, maybe there's a specific policy they're complaining about, like pensions being changed or whatever else. But there's this bigger message that the masses have that are like, you know, global neoliberalism or whatever is messing us up.
There's a huge push of nationalism right now across the world.
And it can mean a lot of things. It doesn't mean just one thing either, but it's the common thread, regardless of which country it is or what policy they're complaining about, is we want the leaders in our country to look out for us because we don't think they're doing that. And we think global forces are pushing us around.
And there's some religious backing for some of this. Of the very few times I've had to attend a church service, I have heard many warnings about the one world government, and that is part of bringing about the apocalypse is when that happens.
Mm.
Which is weird, because certain denominations are trying to bring about the apocalypse, but they still don't want this, so I'm confused.
But like in the United States, the economy's pretty good and the unemployment rate's pretty low. So I'm not sure what basis anybody has for thinking that America's getting, except that Trump says so. I don't know what basis people have for thinking that all the other countries are kicking us around and cheating us and everything.
People think the world is pushing us around. This is the same way of saying it's really hard to be a white man right now. I'm like, no, it's not. Things are different than what you're used to. That's not the same as you being persecuted.
No, it's not. It's
and that's true if you're an American. It's true if you're a Brit. And it's especially true if you're a white man.
But, like, France is still having all kinds of protests for a variety of reasons. And
France seems so tame. France is just having a strike. And then they're having negotiations. And I'm like, that seems normal to me. This shit does not seem normal to me.
It seems weird that Britain and the United States, out of all the countries that are having these issues, that they're having these issues. I mean, because they're two countries that are clearly not being kicked around or pushed around by other people. And the opposite's true in many cases. So why do so many people in their country feel that way? But I don't know anything about...
Because they tend to be...
Britain's relationship
two,
with the rest
two
of
huge, the two I mean, biggest currently. White imperialist powers. There's so much cultural holdover, and it, I mean, in my biggest hope, it's coming to a head. And the next step is violent revolution, in which, unfortunately, you and I are fucked. But then they start working this shit out again.
Well, but I mean, I hear people, because I do get news from Britain, and I hear them talking to people who feel like the governing body of the European Union was very ineffective and didn't really help Britain in a lot of key ways. You don't think that's true, or?
I don't. I gotta be honest, I don't know enough, but I don't think that. I've heard all the arguments for the pro-Brexit people, and almost all of them were lies, and most of them, the economic ones were lies, and the rest of them were blatant racism.
Okay, so even if there are some problems,
so much of the argument for Brexit was they took our jobs.
Yeah.
Everybody coming in, taking our jobs. And that's why immediately after that election happened, crime against non-British people there were just tons of people being attacked on buses and shit because they believed that now that we'd voted for Brexit, we got to kick all of your asses out right now.
So you think
same thing that's happened with Trump?
Whatever problems there might have been between Britain and the EU, this Brexit's not going to fix any of those, or doesn't even address them, because they're not talking about those things.
I think the argument for it was completely disingenuous.
I gotcha. And
I think in the long run, and I think just immediately the backlash, like as soon as they voted for it and they started looking at, like the fact that it's taken this long and the fact that there have been people. Shows that nobody had any idea what the fuck they were talking about when they planned this. And this is huge.
Yeah.
This is a huge decision. We don't have a comparable, similar thing. But, like, I'll put it this way. It's way bigger than to make Puerto Rico a state, and that's something that we can't seem to get our heads around.
That's weird, by the way.
Yes, it fucking is. But
I do not understand
again,
that
racism.
All
right, we're out of time, so... That's our take home here, people. Racism. We're going to go away for a few minutes, but for you, it'll be a whole week. So happy pre-holidays. Or I don't know when some of your holidays start, so maybe it's now. So enjoy that. Bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.